Good morning. It's 11:09 on the 6th of April. 4/6/14. Sunday. Still morning. Okay. I've got a yellow bar on my battery. That's not usually a good sign. So I'm hoping it's got 18 minutes worth of power left. Because that's about how much time it's going to take me to finish this walk and do this talk. I've shot up everything except Endomondo. 17:22 on the front half. If I can do 17 and a half on the back half, we'll be doing good. And I think there's enough juice left to get all the way back. I won't be lingering and you won't hear a long rollout today. It'll be, okay, you gotta get back, carry him. Out the back gate, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, yesterday was, I started out a couple of times to do the walk, figuring, yes, I haven't missed a day in April yet. And every time I walked up over the stairs, my calves in particular, my calves said, dude, you're out of your mind. There's no way we're taking you 2 miles like this. So, discretion, valor, yeah, that was yesterday. I didn't walk. They did loosen up by the end of the day. A few gentle stretches, a couple walks up and down the stairs. Coffee cup must be refilled regardless of pain. So yeah, that was my day yesterday. Thank you very much. Rumbling, walking along. So yeah, I didn't get to anything written down yesterday either. It was mostly chores around the house day. I tried to do a little bit of editing. I didn't get very far. Page, maybe two. I need to get a little more serious about getting full share taken care of because it's almost Balticon. And I really want to have all the books out by Balticon, but I don't think it's going to happen, to be quite frank and quite honest. I'm not going to make Zephyr's call by the end of the month and getting it recorded and available. So, yeah, it's not going to happen. Sorry. I suppose I could if I knuckled down, did 4 or 5 hours a day, worked on one or the other of them, could probably get them both done. Something to ponder. It's a lovely morning, I have to say. It is a lovely morning. There's a band of black clouds over the mountains. Off to the west-northwest. The wind is blowing pretty much straight out of the north. So anything that's moving is moving from the north to the south. Looks like a thunderhead over there. Woohoo! First one I've seen this season. I know there have been some more, but first one I've really noticed. Mostly blue sky. Pretty blue sky, too. There, I made the turn. Got out of the wind. I wonder if I could take a fresh picture of the monk pole. Now, I'm a little leery about doing anything on the phone that uses power until I get back, because it's really that close in terms of do I have enough battery to make it home or not to complete this file. If I don't, I don't think it's going to save. I don't think it'll record what I've spoken. So I could find myself at home with no file. That would not be the first time. And probably won't be the last. Because I don't intend to stop walking anytime soon, although there will be days I don't quite make it. So the lawnmower I mowed it the other day is looking really quite spiffy, I have to say. I need to get to the backyard too. I'm not going to do that right after a walk, though. I've learned that lesson. Although perhaps it wouldn't be as bad this time since my legs have already had the pain. Perhaps they've gained sufficient strength to handle that extra mile or so of walking, pushing the lawnmower. I don't need to cut the lawn at, you know, before 7 o'clock in the morning yet. It's not that hot here yet. It's going to be, though. It's not going to be too long before we have those hot days. Keep watching for my tomato plants at the grocery store. Probably not the best place to buy tomato plants, but it's the handiest. I could probably get some at the hardware store. Probably get them at Lowe's. I could get tomato seeds and start my own, I suppose. It'll be the first time I've done that. So yeah, South Coast. Oh gosh, this is going to be such fun. It's already such fun. I'm already enjoying it greatly. I have no idea what the hell's going on. But I've got these characters launched. I was looking at a video for how to start. How to start your story, what I learned from Pixar about how to start your story, and it applies to screenwriting. You have 25 pages to introduce a character, introduce their world, show them engaged in their passion activity, show how that activity actually leads to a fatal flaw. I'm trying to think what else it was. I can't remember now. Something about storm clouds on the horizon and then take their passion away, which leads them to Act Two, which lets them recover their passion through the bulk of the story, which I suppose is an interesting formula. It works pretty well, I think. It's a little too formula for me. But I think it gets at the emotional content, it gets at the meaning of story. And so technically I've started two stories, and I'm trying to get both stories going at once. We've been introduced to Andrea Peroni, piranha monk pole there slapping it and not taking the picture as I go by. Angela Pirano. And she's a little bit peeved because she wasn't told exactly why she was being transferred over to St. Cloud or why her father told her she needed to go there, because she thought she was going to go there to work with her brother. Only to find out that, no, her brother's going back to headquarters. And her brother's not happy about it either, because he would just prefer to stay and work fisheries. So perhaps I started three stories, and I just don't know yet. But Jimmy's got some problems, and I kind of like the way Tony Spinelli is shaping up. He's going to be one of the key characters in this book, I think. Before, he was a sidekick character, and he's probably still going to be a sidekick character. But I don't see them going fishing this time. I don't see them see that being part of what they do. Because while Andrea is a fisherman, she's tanned, she's got the hands, she's been out, not on St. Cloud, but over in Umber. Her primary strength is as an administrator. Her primary strength is as an engineer, because while she's an extremely competent fisherman, her main strength is in the construction and maintenance of the floating concrete cities that populate the surface of the water planet Umber. And what she's going to do on St. Cloud is take what they've built over the interim 20 standards between the end of Charmin and the beginning of Cape Grace, South Coast, and the beginning of Cape Grace, so that they've got stuff there, but it's basically requiring them to do a lot of construction that isn't really necessary, and in some ways is actually more difficult because they are doing it on the shoals, they're doing it on the shallows. And while shallow is a relative term, those shallows and shoals create wave artifacts that are problematic, particularly in rough weather, because heavy seas will actually feel the bottom and create artifacts on the surface that are difficult to deal with. And that there's a certain advantage into making these floating cities a couple of orders of magnitude larger and then moving them off the shoals. At least that's my theory. I don't know if it's true. I have to do some engineering. They have modern materials that we don't have, so we can use those. Duracrete. Which is the concrete mixed into a carbon nanotube matrix, which makes it both solid and strong under compression as well as under shear. That's the problem with concrete, is it's strong under compression but not so much under shear. If you push concrete sideways, it breaks. If you bend it, it breaks. Shear factors are problematic. That's why they put rebar, reinforcing bar, steel down the center of large concrete structures, down the in the walls and stuff like that, to give it additional protection from rigidity, to keep it from flexing, to keep it from going splody. So yeah, that's my big technology. Woo. Now, people who complain that I don't take the technology very far are correct. I don't take the technology very far. It's And to begin with, the conceit is that this is the frontier. This is, you do what works cheap. You don't do what works elegant. You do what works cheap. People are cheap. People are the cheapest form of labor. That's why you don't have robots. You don't have to have replacement parts. The auto docks take care of the maintenance and repair. And the auto docks are cheap because one auto dock can serve 200, 300, 400, 500,000 people. Provided they don't all get sick at once. For people, you don't need manufacturing to create new people. You just need people. And people take care of that for you. You do need to train them. You do need to program them. And that's what schools are about. Particularly the corporate schools are about programming new corporate soldiers. And it's cheap. And they control the communications. That's another thing people think, oh, well, you overlooked this. No, I didn't overlook it. It's part of the plan. We will see better communications on the dark side of the golden age than we do on the surface, because the confederated planets don't control communications on the dark side. That's one of the things that has been percolating all the way through. It's one of the little secrets of the stories. It's like CPJTT does stuff for the benefit of the Confederated Planets Joint Committees. Not necessarily do it for the benefit of anybody else. Part of any social structure's purpose is to maintain itself. And one of the cleanest ways to maintain itself is control communications, which they've done from the earliest times. So yeah, tons of fun. And government-inflicted simulation. No, it's not the Matrix. Okay, we should be getting the Endomondo if my battery hasn't died. I haven't felt the phone buzz in my pocket, so that's a good sign. Oh, 17:15. 17:20 on the back half. Good enough. Excellent time. I made it all the way around and I'm at the back gate. This is the point where I try to get my phone out without shutting off the recorder. Because very soon I'm going to say, I am at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.